the House Special Session Committee on Budget Reconciliation, and I will open a work session on SJR 50. Dr. Warner.
Mr. Chair, you have before you SJR 50 and the dash 4 amendments to SJR 50. And that does, walking you through what those amendments do, it converts the Education Endowment Fund into the Education Stability Fund. It is, amends the Constitution to do that. It allows the legislature to draw from the fund, withdraw funds for education purposes or expenditures on publication if one of the following occurs. Forecast, the last forecast of a biennium in which your budget is built on shows that revenue will be 3% less than appropriations in the current biennium. That, I think, would be a pretty rare occurrence.
Yeah.
I don't know if that has happened in the last 20 years. The second thing, and these are or, so one of the following has to be occur to use the fund. A decline of two or more consecutive quarters in the last 12 months. This measure, payroll employment, declined in the second quarter of 2001 and has declined for the last three quarters through the fourth quarter of 2001. So that trigger would be affected now. That the quarterly economic revenue forecast projects that the revenues in general fund will be at least 2% below the legislatively adopted budget. And that also is currently the case with the December revenue forecast. The measure in the dash 4 amendments also allow that three-fifths vote, that it requires a finding of one of these three and a three-fifths vote. If the governor declares emergency and three-fifths of the legislature agrees, the fund can also be accessed. And section 7 there of the amendment, the measure allows on May 1st of 2003 for the state treasurer to transfer $120 million from the new Education Stability Fund, and that would be transferred at the end of the current biennium. The Stability Fund itself becomes operative on April 30th, 2003. In terms of kind of where you are with the current Education Endowment Fund, it came in, started the biennium with about $172 million beginning balance. We would estimate that the fund balance at the end of this biennium with a $120 million transfer would be $152 million.
I'm sorry, the first number of all is 172.
172 is the beginning balance of July 1st of 01. And revenue flowing into the fund is projected at $101 million this biennium.
Mm-hmm. Representative Schrader.
Not to be critical, but it seems a little strange. We had all these objections to the Common School Fund, which has a $750 million balance, and here we're going to take just about half of this out and have only $152 million left. I just wonder why some of my colleagues, I'll be up front, some of my colleagues think this is, or thought think this is a good idea. I don't see how this is better than the Common School Fund. So.
If I can address that, and again, not to argue against one against the other, but I think one distinction is that there is an ongoing funding mechanism for the endowment already in place, continuously appropriated each biennium. This doesn't affect that.
It would be 15% of lottery earnings would go into this new fund.
Understood.
But I understand.
Yeah, your earnings. Because we've still got to pay the bonds
right.
We passed in 97 or 99. So it wouldn't be 15% gross figure.
Mr. Chair, that would be of lottery earnings. So
earnings, okay.
Yeah. So that would be 15%, which is $100 million per bonus. In terms of the current use of the Education Endowment Fund, three-fourths of the earnings are used on those bonds. So this would not affect that.
I know.
Mr. Chair, go ahead.
Ladies first.
Are you saying, I don't want to interrupt. You're not.
You just did.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, if I might ask, this corner.
Of course.
This state school fund referred to on page 4 of the amendment is the state school fund that already exists. It does not have to yet be created because this language talks about to a fund created by law. It's already there.
Representative Nolan, that's correct. That's the state school fund which provides dollars that flow through the distribution formula to the school districts. Roughly $2.5 billion a year.
Okay, and if I might follow up. In order to move the $120 million that it talks about the treasurer moving on May 1st, does the 2003 legislative session have to enact any statute?
Representative Nolan, this amendment would need some statutory implementing language for the stability fund. That would not be required for that initial transfer. That initial transfer would be spelled out in this measure and would take place without the implementing language. However, for the stability fund to be operational beyond the current biennium, there would need to be some statutory language accompanying it.
Which I don't think is uncommon on
no.
many measures.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I can address that. Yeah, I think it is important to point that the transfer is self-executing. That will happen without any implementing legislation. The part of this that contemplates the recasting of the endowment fund as a trust fund will require enabling legislation for the ongoing for the establishment and then the ongoing operation of that fund. But you're right. This is the constitutional piece. If this passes, then during the 2003 session, it will be incumbent upon us to come back and put that implementing legislation in place.
And to spin that out just one step further.
Yeah, if I could interrupt you, Representative Nolan, just for Representative Shetterly's information, the House screen just indicated that you were carrying a bill. I'm sure you're doing an excellent job.
Good. Just...
And
hope it passes.
Yeah. Excuse me, Representative.
That's a Senate.
What becomes of the school now to be called Stability Fund if our successors don't do that? If the 2003 session legislature doesn't do that housekeeping stuff, does it disappear?
No, the fund itself would not disappear. It would just not be clear, for example, what's to be done with the earnings in terms of how the fund is to be accessed beyond these measures that are laid out here. So it's more in terms of giving some clearer direction on how the fund is to be used and accessed. The 15% of lottery flowing into the fund would be unaffected by the statutory language. The lottery 15% would be flowing into the fund.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Chair, so effectively, I think in that case, the money would be flowing in. I think we would have, it would be hard for us ever to draw that out, for instance, to otherwise manage it because we don't have the statutory piece in place. But the money would be going in. But I think this is one of these, I think, obligations that the legislature will have in 2003 if this passes to develop implementing legislation. It's not expressly mandated, but I think it's pretty well understood when the constitutional amendment passes that it's our job then to get back in and put the implementing legislation in place.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chair, we do have counsel here.
I have a question. On the fund, the language, the sideboards, the triggers, if you will, is there language in there that we would obviously qualify right now under current conditions to trigger the fund language? Is this prospective enough? I mean, this thing passes May 1 of 2003.
Mr. Chair, that transfer will be under this language because it's directed as a result of passage of this. Beyond that, if you were to think in terms of the fund being in place now, yes, the B and C criteria would clearly be in place. there would be no doubt about that. But keep in mind that, that for those findings to occur does not mean that, that there's any transfers. There still has to have a three-fifths vote. So that just allows the legislature to vote on it, and you still need three-fifths to actually go into the fund.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
May 2003. My recollection is the accession during that time period, so I would assume that that legislature is not obligated by our direction, and they could decide not to do this.
Again, I think it's two parts. The transfer will happen if this passes, and the legislature would have no authority to intervene to stop that. The question is, could the legislature, if the trigger events are in place in May of 2003, could the legislature, by a three-fifths vote, extract more money from the endowment fund in addition to this automatic $120 million transfer? And the answer to that would be yes, if the trigger events are in place and you get a three-fifths vote. I think because of the fact that we are going to be taking $120 million out of this in the first place, in the very first year we're creating it, I think it would be a huge disincentive to go back to this well. And probably the odds are that the trigger events won't be in place when we are meeting a year and 3 months from now. I mean, recovery will get those trigger events off the books. So I think it's hard for me to foresee the circumstances whereby the legislature would come back to this and take more than the $120 million that will happen automatically in this biennium.
Just to follow up, it sounds to me like it's a little confusing. One would wonder, I think council's tried hard, but I'm a little concerned about, we've got two things going on here. We've got establishment of this fund, and then we also have an appropriation that's going to be going on. How sure are we guaranteed that this is not going to be challengeable under an Armada type deal?
Mr. Chair? As that learned jurist, Judge Wapner, has said, anybody can sue anybody for anything. So no, there's no guarantee that this is not going to be challenged. I think what you have effectively here with the automatic transfer, I think what you have is the provision in place for the first withdrawal of this fund to happen automatically without the necessity of the enabling legislation, contemplating that the legislation will be adopted in 2003 and would thereafter govern the terms of withdrawal. So having the automatic transfer in place simply relieves the legislature of that extra obligation to have that implementing legislation in place before that $120 million comes out. But they're really part and parcel of the same thing. The $120 million simply is a recognition that we are going to withdraw that based on the economic forces that face us for the remainder of the biennium.
Joel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I've got the gavel. Representative Hanson.
Okay. Well, while we're on circling the wagons on this this set of issues, earlier in this special session, we passed legislation clarifying whether certain bonds can be issued in light of potential challenges to the lottery itself. How does this match up in terms of challenges to the lottery itself? Do we have?
Well, I think I would respond. I think I understand the question. Clearly, if the lottery goes away, then you've got a problem with the funding mechanism for the endowment fund that is set out in this amendment. Clearly, that's the case. I think the expectation is the lottery is not going to go away. And if it does, you've still got this fund in place that the legislature could appropriate money into from any other source as well. This doesn't exclude any other source of funding, but it creates an automatic funding. And if that goes away, you've still got the structure and the ability of the legislature to appropriate money from other sources.
I would assume, too, if the lottery goes away, we will be back in session relatively quickly, and we'll have a whole lot of problems to fix beyond this. But I'm wondering if there could have been language that if the lottery was to be repassed or reestablished, that it could still flow into this.
I guess to respond to that, if it's a matter of having to recreate the lottery, then probably every other piece that's funded with lottery and is tied to lottery is going to have to be recreated as well. because that'll take a new constitutional amendment. If the water is going to be created constitutionally.
Can I add something, Mr. Chair? I think this is related to Representative Hansen's question. The endowment fund now generates earnings that are used to pay a lottery-backed school bond. That's consistent with education purpose. And the earnings for this biennium are a little over $11 million that would go to pay those lottery-backed bonds. That total debt burden next biennium would be about $60 million. So this would not preclude use of earnings from the fund to help pay those lottery-backed bonds. But, of course, the principal that's withdrawn means earnings would be less in 2003-04. And there would be more of the lottery-backed bonds that would be paid out of the discretionary lottery fund, the non-dedicated piece.
To answer Representative Schrader's question just one step further, I think, to the extent that there is any risk of challenge to this, and I think it's remote the way we have connected these to a single purpose, clearly that risk goes down if we achieve a majority of 40 votes in the House and 20 in the Senate, because that majority then would constitute this as a constitutional revision and not an amendment, which in the legislature, unlike the initiative process, we can put as many changes into the Constitution as we want to if we do it as a revision with a 40 and 20 vote margin. So there's certainly an incentive there in this case to help insulate it from virtually inoculate it from any kind of challenge with a 40 and 20 vote margin. Short of that, then we'll be in Judge Wapner's court if somebody challenges it. And I think the arguments are very strong in favor of the way this has been drafted to connect these two as a cohesive unit. But clearly the 40 and 20 margin is the preferred way.
If I might, Mr. Chair. I concur with that analysis, but the preferred way to amend the Constitution or revise it is to have adequate public hearings on the issue and not to do it at 8:30 or 10:30 on a Sunday night when the public that has a very keen interest in this doesn't really get a chance to participate.
Special session. Okay. Any further discussion?
Some are more special.
Yeah. The chair would then move the dash four amendments in. Can I see? Let me see. In that case, I won't do anything. And that we'll be in recess here until we get the other members.